Louisa May Alcott never liked her birthday. On a dismal November day, I found myself, as she put it, and began my long fight. Her mother remembered that day in 1832, and her daughter, differently. The infant Louisa was a sprightly, merry little puss, Abigail Alcott wrote, quirking up her mouth and cooing at every sound. Louisa the fighter found herself in the heart of an unusual family. Amos Bronson Alcott, Louisa's father, was an educator and philosopher fascinated by human nature. Louisa's mother shared his ideals and was fiercely committed to social change. When Anna, the first of four Alcott daughters, was born on March 16, 1831, 20 months before Louisa, Bronson wrote grandly, "A child is given. May we guide it in the paths of truth." He saw the new baby as an invitation to a great experiment. What is human happiness? Can it be built from the ground up? Can parents limit outside influences and raise a perfect child? How do children learn? To find out, he took scrupulous notes on his firstborn's mental and moral growth. He looked and listened, like any attentive father, but also exposed Anna to stimuli, like a scientist. What faces would she make? What sounds and gestures? His laboratory was built on gentleness and reason, but Bronson's curiosity sometimes got the better of him. What would happen, for instance, if he made a scary face? That experiment must not be repeated, he concluded. Fear, however mild, only subtracted from a child's happiness. He called his journal Observations of the Life of My First Child, and intended it to be no less than a history of the human mind, faithfully narrated. Louisa arrived in the world on Bronson's 33rd birthday, and she too became part of the family experiment. The sisters were in every way a study in contrasts, their father observed. Bronson believed in the divine purity of young children. Newborns came into the world still in touch with instincts and intuition from the spiritual realm. Mild, sentimental, and eager to please, Anna was fair and serene like her father. She fit his concept of the ideal infant. Louisa, with her vivid, energetic power, individuality, and force, did not. An active, fretful baby, she challenged her father's theories from the beginning, and would challenge him all her life. Louisa was practical and proud, with a fierce will, imagination, and temper. She had storm-dark eyes, some said gray, others black, and her mother's olive skin. In a letter to his own mother, Bronson praised his wife's maternal devotion. "She lives and moves and breathes for her family," he wrote. But at the same time, he gave Abby full credit, or blame, for the baffling phenomenon that was Louisa. Overworked and in poor health during the formative early months of her daughter's life, even Abby looked back and blamed herself for Louisa's moodiness. Born with the wild exuberance of a powerful nature, Louisa was certainly fit for the scuffle of things, as Bronson put it, and their household was nothing if not a scuffle. Clamoring for the attention of two intellectual, socially active parents, toddler Anna lashed out at her mother and sometimes struck her. Anna slapped and scratched Louisa, the intruder, one minute, though she always agonized afterward, and slathered Louisa in kisses the next. Not to be outdone, tiny Louisa mastered the art of the tantrum, learning to howl and collapse into a heap on the floor, wedging her head between her knees and screaming bloody murder. Sobbing before bedtime became one of her most confirmed habits. Trying to mold the perfect family in crowded, chaotic conditions wore on Bronson. The family lived at the time in Germantown, Pennsylvania, about 6 miles outside Philadelphia, While he tested his radical educational methods at a suburban school funded by wealthy Quakers. His roles as father and educator were hard to separate, and with his suburban experiment on the wane and bills piling up, Bronson closed the Germantown school.